Welcome to Exchange Church, where we desire to connect and grow people in Jesus. Thanks for listening to our Bible message today, and feel free to share it around.
Today's reading is from 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6 to 16. A good servant of Christ Jesus. If you put these things before the brothers, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, being trained in the words of the faith and of the good doctrine that you have followed. Have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. Rather, train yourself for godliness. For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance. For to this end we toil and strive, because we have our hope set on the living God, who is the Savior of all people, especially of those who believe. Command and teach these things. Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to teaching. Do not neglect the gift you have, which was given you by the prophecy when the council of elders laid their hands on you. Practice these things. Immerse yourself in them so that all may see your progress. Keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in this, for by so doing you will save both yourself and your hearers. This is the word of our God.
Thanks, Alex. Appreciate you reading for us. Welcome to church. My name is Todd Hall. I'm the pastor here at Exchange. It's a great joy and privilege to lead a wonderful body of people who love and serve Christ, to take the good news of the gospel by connecting people to Jesus and growing people in Jesus. And we do this here in Shepparton, of course, where we are today, and also cross-culturally as well. We support some missions overseas. We'll be the same thing. We want to see people grow in Jesus. Come to a really important part of our worship now for our service today. We come to worship the Lord as we open up his word and to allow that to speak into our hearts and our lives, so that we can grow in the likeness of Christ. We've been working through the book of Timothy, 1 Timothy, a letter that Paul wrote to Timothy about 2,000 years ago, and we're up to about our seventh talk as we go through Timothy, so we've got still a few more to go. I have been loving studying Timothy and just seeing what Paul tells him, which is then told to us 2,000 years later and still is applicable to us today. Now, one of the things that helps us sort of set the scene for the day, one thing about raising children is they are little... You're going to say brats, aren't you? Sponges. They watch and they soak up everything we say and do, both the good and the bad. You just watch your kids as they grow up and you think, they're just doing what I'm doing. They just soak this up and they follow the example that we set. How we live says something about what we value and what we believe in our lives. Our lives are speaking, even though we may not be saying anything out of our mouths at times, particularly kids pick this up and they follow that example and mimic those things that we do. Well, Paul's going to call Timothy today to sound thinking that will drive godly living as an example to be set for the church. So we're going to see that today as we go into this passage here. So let me pray now as we just make a start on this. Father, we thank you that we can gather here this morning. We thank you, God, that you've given us your word. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you have inspired the Apostle Paul to write this letter 2,000 years ago to Timothy to help him lead the churches in Ephesus. And this very same letter speaks into our hearts today. So we pray now, Holy Spirit, would you bring life to this word, to each and every one of us that is here in this room, hearing the Lord speak to us through his word right now. We pray for that power and that strength that you would give and that opening of our eyes as well. We ask that in Jesus' name and for his glory alone. Amen. So as we read through the book of Timothy, getting to this section here, we reach an area where Paul gets very personal with Timothy in how to lead well and how to navigate the church through difficult times. And when I say personal here, you'll see a number of times as Paul writes to Timothy, it's you or yourself. So he's sort of directly talking to Timothy here about what you need to do, Timothy, in that way. Timothy, as I said before, is leading churches here in Ephesus. We said last week Ephesus is probably about 250,000 people at that time, so it's a fairly large city in the Roman Empire. And he's dealing with false teaching finding its way into the church. There's false teachers there teaching stuff that's not of the gospel, not God's word, and he's actually battling this at this particular time. It's also quite possible here, and you'll see this in verse 12, that there are older people within the congregation of the church at Ephesus, where Timothy is, and they're looking down on Timothy and say, what sort of a young whippersnapper are you thinking you can lead us? You're too young, Timothy. Now, that can be an issue sometimes in life, can't it? We can sort of think, oh, well, you know, the older can look down on the younger and say, what would you know? How much life have you experienced? How could you possibly even tell us how to live a life here that honours the Lord? Now, sometimes the younger don't help themselves in that scenario when it's like that, because they can be cocky, they can be confident, and have this attitude of life where they seem to know everything by the age of 15. You'd like to think a few more years under their belt would be good. But best estimates here tell us Timothy's probably in his 20s, maybe early 30s, in that age bracket somewhere in there. So he's not 15. He has got a few years under his belt. But it appears, though, for some, that it's too young to lead at this stage of life for Timothy. So Paul now gives Timothy Holy Spirit-inspired advice on how to lead a church well through this difficult season, perhaps dealing with people looking down upon him and despising him because of his youth. Here's where we're going to head today as we think about that. A disciplined life of godliness in the gospel will produce blessings now and into the future, and also provide a powerful example for others to follow. A disciplined life of godliness, that's a really key part to get there, in the gospel will produce blessings now. It will produce blessing now and into the future also, and provide a powerful example for others to follow. The key for that is probably in verse 7 there. It says there, as Paul's writing to Timothy, have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. Rather, so don't do that, do this. Rather, train yourself for godliness. Train yourself for godliness. Let's jump in and think about that. What is godliness? Well, godliness is the right belief about God, and it's also the right practice of those right beliefs. So it's right belief and it's right practice. In pursuing a life of godliness here, as Paul's going to instruct Timothy, he's going to break it down to those two areas. Right thinking, sound thinking, and then it's going to be right living or sound living. Firstly, godliness is right thinking. We cannot live a godly life unless we are thinking right about God. To live in a godly way, we must understand who God is and also how he's created us to live in that particular way. And this is where Paul first goes with Timothy to help him here to live this godly life. He wants to get Timothy's thinking right again. He says in verse 6 these, if you put these things before the brothers, he's possibly thinking of everything he's written to this point, or what's going to happen beyond this. If you put these things before the brothers, before the church, the word brothers there can mean brothers and sisters. In the original Greek, it does refer to brothers, but it's both. You will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, being trained in the words of what? The faith and of the good doctrine that you followed. Trained in what? The words of faith and of the good doctrine that you follow. Paul opens this passage here reminding Timothy what a good servant of Christ looks like. Being trained. That word being trained there means to be nourished or fed upon what? The words of faith and of the good doctrine that you followed. So he kicks off here by saying you need to be trained in right thinking. The words of the faith, the words of the gospel, the words of God. Good doctrine, sound doctrine, truth. We looked at that last week and we said the church is the what? The pillar and the buttress of truth. Paul follows us on and says that's what you need to build this godliness upon. And that's why we have Bible college as well, to send those who aspire to be in the ministry so they are trained well in good doctrine, so they can go and train others in that good doctrine as well. Right thinking, sound thinking. Good doctrine, critically important. We have to be nourished. That word, like I said, trained, that means nourished and fed on the word of God. Why? So that the Holy Spirit will take that word and bring it alive inside of our hearts. Not some sort of mental gaining of knowledge here, but something that actually bursts forth inside and it's alive. It's something that we feel, something that wants to flow out, something we want to help others see what we've discovered in that way. Because that word, it trains our minds how to think as we deal with life. Right thinking leads to right actions. Wrong thinking leads to wrong actions. Think about those gangs causing havoc down in Melbourne and even some stuff here happening around in Shep as well. Those ones who steal cars, break and enter, do all sorts of crazy things. They're not thinking right, are they? They think stealing a car and destroying property is all in the name of making some money because they're getting paid to steal these cars and also getting a buzz of excitement. But we know it's wrong. They're violating people's rights and properties. Wrong thinking leads to wrong living. So Paul's trying to get us here. Right thinking leads to right living. If we have an understanding of God and how he requires us to live, that's right thinking. Well, that then becomes the baseline for us to carry into right living. Paul goes on to tell Timothy, actually not just do this once, but keep doing it in the sense of keep feeding your mind and nourishing your mind on the truth. Have a look in verse 13. He says this, Paul says, until I come, so he's obviously not there, until I come, Timothy, do this, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation and to teaching. What we actually see there is a little snapshot into early church life. What do? They do exactly what Alex just did before. Publicly read the Scripture. What does Timothy do? Timothy stands up and he exhorts or encourages the people with that Scripture, and then he teaches the people with that Scripture. So until I come, Paul says, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation and teaching. Timothy, read some Scripture. Encourage the people with that. Teach that Scripture so their thinking is right. What are we doing right now? Exactly this. Exactly as Paul has instructed Timothy 2,000 years later. Some things don't change because this is what God has ordained for us to do. Get the gospel deep in your thinking. Grow it in your heart so you know how to answer the false teachers when they come, because they will come. Whether they come in here or whether you get them on YouTube or somewhere else, they will come. You'll know how to answer them. But you'll also know how to grow in godliness as well, because you've got your thinking right, not wrong. Okay, Paul's grounded this now in right thinking to lead to right living, which is now where Paul goes with Timothy right now. Have a look in verse 12. He says this. This is this before whether someone thought maybe he's too young. Let no one despise you for your youth. But, in contrast to that, but, set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. Be an example for other believers to see, Paul instructs Timothy. Let your life show what you believe. Let godliness be lived out through your life. Don't keep it to yourself. Don't be prideful about it. But let godliness be shown for others. Set an example for others to see. Don't say one thing and then just go another direction with your life. If you say that, well, then follow that. Don't be a hypocrite, Timothy, Paul would say. He says, let your speech be of wholesome and honest words. Let your conduct, Timothy, as you set an example, be above reproach. Let the love of Jesus, Timothy, flow towards your neighbour in everything you do. Let all of life be faithful. A faithful reflection of Christ in you, Timothy. Set an example of faithfulness in that way. Timothy, let purity of thought and action characterize your entire life. Purity, Timothy. What Paul is saying is this. Godly character enhances the witness of that of our person. We practice what we preach. Now, we've all seen this, and it can go the other way. You can have somebody leading a church, It could be a real jet pilot when it comes to communicating. He is just it in a bit. And he can shoot the lights out with his speaking skills and his leadership capabilities, and he knows exactly how to draw people in to get a crowd. He's got great stories and great illustrations. He even may pepper a bit of Bible through that as well. But if that leader hasn't got godly character, well, he just sucks the power right out of his message. And we've seen it in the past. How many church leaders with high profiles have shipwrecked their ministry and their lives? Why? Because basically they paid no attention to godly character. They may have had the natural giftings and everything else, and they've let that just go out there, but they haven't had the character to sort of authenticate what they're doing. Power and popularity have gotten to their head, and their heart is filled with pride, and eventually it catches up with them, and they come crashing down. And what often sadly follows is like a domino effect of seeing the faith of many other people who've been sort of going after these leaders, and they all begin to get crushed and battered and bruised in their own faith as well. They have not got godly character. Godliness in our character is the path of spirit-filled transformation. Transforming in the power of the Holy Spirit as godly character is worked on through our lives. We've all heard that phrase. Actions speak louder than words. Transform godly character enhances our witness of Jesus Christ. What happens is that our lives authenticate what we speak. It's true. Not only do you say it, but you live it. It authenticates what we speak. Now, we're not going to be perfect with this. That's just not going to happen. We will still carry within ourselves the sinful nature, even though we're saved and redeemed and forgiven by the Lord. And that sinful nature inside of us will still rear its ugly head from time to time. And we will do things that are wrong and really hurtful towards people. But a godly character will come back and say, I need to be humble. I need to be remorseful about that when I hurt people. And I need to acknowledge those wrongs and ask for forgiveness. That's part of good, growing, mature, godly character as well. So it's not going to be perfect. You will do things wrong, but we understand that. And we're remorseful and humble and repentant over that. Now, Paul tells Timothy here about this godly character. He's got to train himself in it in verse 7. He says, train yourself in godly character. Now, the word for train there in the Greek is the word gymnazo. Can anybody think maybe an English word that might be sort of getting close towards that? Gymnasium. This is where we get the English word for is gymnasium. So Paul is literally telling Timothy to regularly work out. Work out, Timothy, as you would at a gym to grow your godliness. Discipline yourself, Timothy, like you would be for strengthening your body at a gym. What do you do there? Well, this is probably what you should do, is eat a healthier diet because you want to bulk up and get the protein into you and everything else to sort of pump up those guns. So you eat a healthier diet. What do? You set your week up. You make time for sort of Monday, Wednesday, Friday maybe. I'm not sure what your calendar is. I'm going to be at gym. Going to finish work. I'm going to go straight down to gym. And then you make sure you get the right routine as you work around the different stations in the gym. And you actually get the right reps, the number of, to do whatever you got to do. You can see I don't do much of the gym, but that's what they tell me about. And you do all this because you're disciplining yourself. You're training yourself to strengthen in the gym. Well, Paul's saying the very same thing to Timothy. Do the same with growing in godliness. Let me tell you something about godliness. It won't happen of its own accord. You won't just wake up tomorrow morning, I feel more godly today. I'm not sure what happened. I went to sleep, but I just feel more godly. It doesn't normally happen like that. We do something. Growing in godliness needs a disciplined lifestyle, a lifestyle applied to seeing right thinking produce right living. And it's the Holy Spirit that is the prime mover in growing godliness in our lives and to see ourselves grow in that way. But we're expected here, as it were, to be responsible to use the tools that the Holy Spirit gives us, namely His Word and the power He gives, to grow in godliness. Here's an example. Here's an example of godliness. Timothy before spoke about speech. How might this work then if we think about our speech? Well, think about our speech. With our mouth or our tongue, we can easily cause a mountain of pain towards people. It doesn't take much to just say those words and it just comes out of jealousy or bitterness and it just flows out sometimes and it causes hurt all over the place when that happens. Well, how do we produce this godly mouth that shows godliness? Well, first of all, we need to understand that what comes out of the mouth really originates in the heart. It's understanding some things, right thinking. There may be some other influences that are triggering me to say stuff, but it's actually the heart is where the mouth speaks from. It's the thoughts originating inside of me. So I need to think about that. And then I need to think about what does God say about the tongue? Well, God says this about the tongue in James chapter 3. He says this, "For we all stumble in many ways. And if anyone does not stumble in what he says, so speaking, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder, wherever the will of the pilot directs." Talking about what a little thing does and causes the direction of your life to move around. Then he goes on to verse 5. "So also the tongue, a very small member of the body. Yet what does it do? It boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue, what is it? It is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set amongst our members, staining the whole body by the words that come from our heart out through our mouth, setting on fire the entire course of life and set on fire by hell." Strong words there by the Apostle James, but he's telling us about the tongue and what originates from our heart out through our mouth. So, Paul says, set an example with our speech. How do I train and discipline my tongue or my mouth in godliness? Well, again, I said we need to recognise where are these words coming from? Why am I saying these words? Where are these thoughts coming from that wants to articulate itself out now in words? From the heart. Proverbs 18 says that death and life are in the power of the tongue. What does that mean? That means I need to own up to these words. I don't blame somebody else for what I've said. They don't make me say anything. That saying comes from my choice of will to say those words. It's me. I own up to those words. If they hurt or they cut or they crush, I do that. Then to pursue a godly mouth, as I know where this comes from, to pursue a godly mouth and speech, I remember my thinking. I remember that Jesus has died on the cross to pay the price of my sins, including my corrupted speech that hurts and cuts other people. Not only that, but Jesus has also died to break the power of sin over my life as well. I don't need to keep speaking in that way because God has broken that power. I don't serve sin as my master any longer. I serve a different master, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I still get my thinking clear on this, and I go back to the book of James and I read this in James chapter 1, 19 and 20. It says, "Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God." I'm equipping my mind with right thinking to actually get a godly tongue, to show godliness through my life. With the love that Jesus has shown me, I now show that love, same love to others. How do I show this love? In this particular context, I show this love through my words. Jealousy might be there, bitterness might be there, but I control that with the strength and power the Holy Spirit gives. And then I pray. I pray if I'm coming into a tricky situation, I pray and I ask the Holy Spirit, help me to love that other person, even though they might be pushing my angry buttons, or my jealousy buttons, or my bitterness buttons, or whatever buttons there could be in your life. Help me, Holy Spirit, to love that person with the same love that Christ has shown me. Help me, Holy Spirit, to listen. Be quick to listen. That's what God says. Be quick to listen. Help me to listen well. Help me to appreciate where they're coming from. Help me to understand what they're saying. Help me to listen. And then I pray again. Help me to choose the words that are wise, that will help this person, and to love them and not hurt them, even though a lot of things within me wants to hurt them with these words. I get my thinking right, and then I call upon the strength and the power of the Holy Spirit, and I pray, and then I begin to discipline myself in that pathway. And that does require discipline. It does require much practice for godliness here in speech, because my natural response maybe is just to blurt out those cutting comments to satisfy my anger or jealousy. That's the first thing it wants to roar out of us. But in pursuing godliness, I need the strength of the Holy Spirit working in me to be quick to listen and slow to speak. I need the Holy Spirit working within me to choose my words so they build up and strengthen rather than crush and cut. It requires practice. It requires discipline. Look what Paul says here as he follows us on in verse 15. Practice these things. Immerse yourself in them so that all may see your progress. Paul is telling Timothy here, immerse yourself in these things. Don't just touch base with it once or twice. Immerse yourself. Dip yourself. Just cover yourself with this stuff. Be all over. Let it be all over you thinking about these good things. Keep filling your mind and heart here with the truth of the gospel to keep this right thinking continually coming in. Keep feeding your mind with this sound doctrine and sound teaching. And then work hard as much as you can with the strength of God's Spirit to keep growing godliness, in particular in this example of speech. That's only one area of our life. But in all areas, we need God's Spirit working in us so we do practice godliness and enhance our witness. Now, there's a massive blessing as we pursue the path of godliness. God graciously blesses us in this pathway, and it pays big dividends for us. Have a look in verse 8. It says this, "For while bodily training is of some value," so yeah, go to the gym, go for it. That's fine. Some value in that. Godliness is of value in every way, not just our physical body, in every way. Why? As it holds promise for the present life now and also for the life to come. In the present life, as we practice godliness, what is it? It's a pathway to joy and peace. If we choose to live in godliness, surely it places us in the best possible position to have peaceful and harmonious relationships. If you are practicing at curbing your tongue and choosing your words wisely, words of life, words of love, words of truth, surely that's placing you in a place of peace and joyful, harmonious relationships. Surely. Absolutely. It won't guarantee that, though. Because you can do the best you possibly can on your end of a conversation or your end of a relationship. We also know that the other person has to be reciprocal, and they're not always reciprocal depending on who they are and what may have happened in the past. But let me tell you now, if you do that probably 9 times out of 10, maybe 99 times out of 100, it'll actually give you a peaceful and harmonious relationship if you practice godliness, gospel-shaped living. That's present. I think that's a great blessing. Peaceful, harmonious relationships. Praise the Lord for that, if we just practice godliness. Also the life to come. Living a godly life really sets us up for a glorious entry into eternity. We just know what's ahead of us for heaven, and we are trying to practice that now with a genuine heart. That just sets us up for the glory of the next life to come. Don't discount the next life to come. This is a blink. It's probably not even a blink. The next life to come is going to be out of this world. It sets us up for that. Paul also says this blessing as well, if we pursue a life of godliness, it's for the good of others. Have a look in verse 16 as Paul is talking to Timothy again. Keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in this, Timothy. Keep at it, keep at it, keep at it, keep at it, keep at it. Persist in this, Timothy. For by so doing, what will you do? You will save both yourself and your hearers. Now, don't make this mistake and think, can I save myself? Is that what it says it there, doesn't it? You will save yourself and your hearers. Don't make that mistake. Jesus alone saves us through his death on the cross, and our faith must be in Christ alone for the forgiveness of our sins. So Paul's not going back on his other doctrines in other books or other letters, but what he's saying is this: a life, godliness in sound doctrine that leads to godly living will be what? It will be an instrument. It will be an instrument that the Holy Spirit uses to help other people to be rescued and saved. God has purposed in his ways that we are to communicate the gospel to all those around about us who do not know Jesus. And at the same time, we are to adorn the gospel, make the gospel look beautiful, make the gospel look true, make the gospel look powerful. How? By our godliness. And the Holy Spirit will use that to save the hearers, those who hear what we have to say about Jesus, but then also see our lives. So how do we reach our family and friends who do not know Jesus as yet? Well, that's really hard sometimes, particularly if they're within your own family, because you can't just go, okay, just let me read through Romans again for you. No, I've heard that 1,000 times. I don't want to hear about Romans. Okay, how do I reach these ones? Because I've got people in my own family who aren't saved. How do I reach my sister and a whole stack of other people? Well, here's what I do. I pray for them, and I live out the gospel to authenticate the message. And I pray that God will use that to awaken my sister and awaken others around about me. We pray and we live it out, and God uses that as an instrument to save those around about us. Also, here's something else as the blessing living godly lives. We encourage other believers with our example of godliness. It helps to inspire others to follow Jesus as they see others living in gospel-driven lifestyle or gospel-driven godliness. It just can't help that. When you see somebody else and say, oh, I am so encouraged by that person over there, they are just living a godly life, it inspires me to do the same thing. So there's another blessing that flows out of godly living. As others do this, it encourages me and inspires me to do the same thing. God keeps this, as it were, going around and around. It's the blessing that just keeps on giving in that sense. It's encouraging, it's inspiring that when we see that, we can influence other lives for Christ through my godly living. Humble godly living, not proud godly living, but humble, it can inspire others. Okay, as we begin to wrap this up now, there's a danger in this passage. And the danger is this. Well, this is only for pastors, Todd, because Paul's writing directly to Timothy. This is like a pastoral letter. This is just for Timothy and leaders. Yeah, leaders, they've got to make sure they have a really good example. Totally get that. Absolutely. If anybody's called to eldership, like myself and currently Steve here as well, yep, we've got to live a great example, an honest example, to the best of our ability to hopefully communicate Christ to others. So the danger is, well, it's just for you and Steve. No, this word is for the whole church. In a sense, we are all ministers of the gospel, not necessarily the minister of a church, but a minister of other people who God has placed in our lives. So we are ministering to them. They're not in the church yet. We pray they would come into the church and discover who Jesus is and keep growing in that. But in a sense, we are all ministers, the priesthood of all believers. We understand that about what Peter says. So we don't write this word off and say it's not for us. This word is for every single person who's a follower of Jesus here right now. Godliness in sound doctrine and godliness in the practical outworking of our lives is a command for all believers in Jesus. Look what Paul says there in verse 11 to Timothy. Command and teach these things. It's not optional. It's not on the tick list. Not optional. Command and teach these things. Every follower of Jesus is called to live godly lives as an act of worship and obedience to Christ today. So what do we do when we hear what God's told us in this, with this passage? How do we respond to that? Do we sit here today and it just sort of hits us in our mind and just bounces off? Does it bounce? Does it go in? Does it get in there? Or do we listen? This is God's word. Yep, I can understand what it is, and it's telling me to live a godly life. And now do I want to put disciplines into place and grow and develop godliness? It's really important to think about how we respond, because there's an obligation upon you as the hearers. How am I going to respond? I've heard this. It's to me. It's to all of us. How will I respond? Listen to Jesus' words here at the end of a sermon he preached when he was on earth. He says this in Matthew chapter 7. Everyone then who hears these words of mine, so hear these words of mine, and does them, what will they be like? They'll be like a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and they beat on that house, but it did not fall. Why? Because it had been founded on the rock. What did he do? He heard them, and he's going to do them. He's responding, I'm going to put discipline in place. I'm going to try with the Spirit's power to practice godliness. Well, Jesus goes on in verse 26 of Matthew, and he says this, and everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them, I've heard it, but I'm just, it's not for me, and does not do them, will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell. Didn't just fall, and great was the fall of that house. What is that house? That house is our life. What is the rock that the first guy built on? The rock is Jesus. Jesus is calling us to embrace the life of godliness, to discipline and to put into practice the habits of grace to grow in godliness. And the glorious thing is, as we do that, we will know and experience the joy of the Holy Spirit and the peace of the gospel as we grow in godliness. So are we going to listen and do, or are we going to listen and not do? Let's pray. Father, we thank you today that we are able to come around your word. Father, we thank you that you have given us this living, eternal word, sound doctrine, right thinking. You give it to us in such a way that we can understand this, Lord. And not only do you give that, you give us your Holy Spirit as well to bring power to our lives to live out this word. God, I pray today, please help us all. Please help us all, Lord, who are trusting in Christ to grow in godliness. To take that right thinking, that sound thinking, the word of the gospel, the truth of the scriptures, to get that in our minds and then to use the strength and the power the Holy Spirit gives to live in a godly way. And if it's speech, help us to show self-control, Lord. To not let that bitterness or that jealousy just vomit out of our mouths. Help us, Lord, to choose the right words to say. Words that love, words that care, words that build up, and words that help. Help us to do that in every aspect of our lives, Lord. And when we get it wrong, help us to say sorry. Help us to ask for forgiveness. And Father, we are asking and we are praying today, please would you be pleased to use our godliness to rescue and to save those who are close to us, those who do not know you at this stage. Well, those we've spoken to a number of times, but it's like a brick wall. We ask, Holy Spirit, would you use our lives to the best of our ability to authenticate the gospel message so they too would know the joy and the peace of living for Christ that he brings to us. Lord, we ask for that help today, and we ask and pray it in your name, Jesus. Amen.
We hope you found today's talk challenging and fruitful. Don't hesitate to get in touch by visiting our website or sending us an email. But we'd love for you to join us in person as well.